here in this 32nd chapter, of the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, in the 17th verse, makes this statement here in that last part of the verse. And there is nothing too hard for thee. He's talking about the great Jehovah God. He said there's nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing beyond the reach of the immanent wisdom and power of the Almighty God. In other words, there's nothing that you can think or imagine that cannot be accomplished by God. Nothing too hard. Difficulties in the performing of certain things, or in the performance of all things that God desires to do, He can do. Nothing is beyond the scope and limit of His might and of His power. Verse 17 is what I called out. 32 and 17. There's nothing too hard for thee. That's what Jeremiah said. God had pronounced in this verse, or in this chapter, things that He would do for the children of Israel, for the people of God. And somehow, Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah to buy a parcel of ground in the midst of this particular country. And God said that He would do so and so. And so in the 17th verse it says, Ah, A-H, Ah. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power, and hast stretched out arm by Thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Jeremiah speaking. Nothing too hard for thee. Now, a truth. That's a truth, isn't it? Nothing too hard for God. That's a truth. The whole Bible's truth. All the doctrines are truth. Every word inspired by God. Now, a truth. A single truth. Individual truth that we are convinced of, that it either applies to us or applies to someone else. A truth may be sincerely believed by you and I, and yet it may do us good to have it put into a form of a question, which God did in verse 27. I read to you verse 17, where Jeremiah said, And there is nothing too hard for thee. Now this same truth here is put into a form of a question by God. Remember, it's Jeremiah that says in verse 17, And there is nothing too hard for thee. And I said, it may do us good to have it put in a form of a question. It's one thing to believe a general doctrine, general everyday truth, but it's quite another to make a particular and personal application of the truth. In verse 27, the Lord speaks. Jeremiah spoke, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now the Lord speaks and says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Now's the question he proposes to the statement made by Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for me? Propose this question to Jeremiah. As I've said, it's one thing to believe a general truth or doctrine, but it's quite another thing to make a particular and personal application of this truth. And you can apply that to anything that the Bible teaches. You can believe the sentence and the words. Lots of people would not deny the doctrine of election, but the personal and particular application to the doctrine of election is something else. You can believe it and say, well, it's in the Bible. I read it in the Bible. But does it apply to you? Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah. Well, first off, I want you to remember that the hardest conceivable things have already been done. Jeremiah here said, thou hast made heavens and the earth. Is there anything too hard for thee? He's made the heavens and the earth. Now, in light of that, can there be anything too hard for God? There was a time when there was nothing that had been created, and God lived alone. It's hard to conceive, isn't it, that there was a time when there was nothing, and God lived somewhere alone. There was no tree. There was no sky. There was no water. There was no grass. There was nothing. It was without form and void. Void means nothing. There was a time when there was nothing that had been created, and God dwelt alone. Book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning. That's when the time I'm talking about it is in the beginning. When God dwelt alone, and there was no heavens and no earth. God dwelt alone. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There was a time, you see, when God was alone. There was not even any raw material out of which to construct or to bring into being the universe. We're talking about building this or building that. You can't build unless you have some material to build with. Kind of foolish to talk about building a house if you don't have any money to buy any material, or if there's not any material to buy. Well, I'm going to build a house. What are you going to build it out of? You got to have some material. And when God was alone, there was no raw material to build the earth or to build the heavens out of. He is alone. Yet, when it pleased Him to do so, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. When it pleased Him to do so, everything was formed and fashioned out of nothing. God being alone. Come time to create the heavens and the earth, there was nothing to make it. Make the heavens and make the earth out of. No material. God was alone. What then can He not do after having done that? After having fashioned and formed this world, this earth, by God, out of nothing, what then can He not do after having done that? Is there anything too hard for God? I ask you also to think what God done after that. He first made the world, and then He left it. God in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. He first made the heaven and the earth, and then He left it for ages. He left in an unfinished state. It wasn't finished. He created the heavens and He created the earth, and then He departed and left it unaided. Unfinished. For in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. But long afterward, when He came to put it in order and to make it fit for man's dwelling or fit for man's abode, and then He came to create man to have dominion over that which He made, I ask then, who was with God to help Him do this tremendous task? With whom did He take counsel, and who instructed God in creating the heavens and the earth when there was no raw material to build? With His own hand, the hand of God Himself, He piled up the mountains, stacked this dirt that He brought out of nothing, and piled it up high and made the mountains and the foundation of the great deep. Is there anything too hard for God? His unaided power achieved it all. No outside help. Just God by Himself. Alone. His unaided power accomplished this when everything was in darkness, even after He made it. He made the heavens and the earth, left it for some time, It was without form and void. Everything was in confusion. And finally, darkness covered the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And who was there to help it? Who was his instructor? He said, "Let there be light," and there was light, unaided by any other power. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And everything was in confusion and chaos, the Bible says. And the water and the earth was mingled together in one mass form. And again, God spoke, and He divided the sea from the land, and the clouds arose in the sky, and the rivers sought the low spots for their beds, and the oceans was wrapped with a belt of sand. And all this God did unaided by Himself. Now I ask the question, as Isaiah or Jeremiah asked it, is there anything too hard for God? God did it all. The earth, well, He created the heavens, He created the earth, and the earth was without form and void. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Everything in confusion. The rivers found their place. The sun found its place. The earth found its place. Water and the earth was massed together. God said, "Let there be water over here, and let there be valleys over here. Let the stars be in place, and the moon, and the sun, and all of that." Done all that without any assistance, without any help. You did all. And it makes me think the foolishness of people trying to help God do something. Let Jesus do this, or let Jesus. You don't let Jesus do anything. You don't let God do anything. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need my help. He said, "I could make these rocks cry out if I wanted to. I don't need you." God did it all. And after He did it all, this world was still dead. There was no life in it. There was no life in this world. After, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light. It was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, day and night. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning of the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He the seas. And God saw that it was good. God did it all. But even then, the world was dead. That is, there was no life anywhere to be seen. There was no animals. But again, God spoke. And at that instance of his speaking, the earth became green with grass and trees, and the waters was full of fish and other reptiles, and all kinds of birds began to fill God's blue sky, and multitudes of beasts began to roam the earth that God had made. And he done this all by himself, alone, unaided, without counsel of anybody, because there was nobody that he could seek counsel after, because man had not yet been created. So is there anything too hard for you? Got any troubles here that God cannot reach and solve your problems and help you? Have you got any whatsoever? Now, God can take care of our problems and our troubles and our worries and our fears and this and that. God can do that. He's proved that the hardest things to be done, he's already accomplished. He made this whole shooting match out of nothing. So my little problems seems like a speck of dust in the light of what God, the hard things that God's already done. So there's nothing too hard for God. I'm convinced of that. If he can just speak and light comes, not just a 60-watt bulb that lights a space as big as maybe a bathroom, but the immensity of the heavens and the earth are taken into consideration. All was buried in the depth of the darkness, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And when he comes along looking for his people, he knows exactly where to find them. And when he says to his people, "Let there be light," then there is light and life in their soul. He needs no help whatsoever. Well, the waters were full of fish and all kinds of birds of every sort and description began to fly in the heavens. And these multitude of beasts began to roam the earth. But last of all, God said, "Let us make a man in our image." God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, in the Trinity of his persons and in perfect unity, said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and the cattle and every creeping thing on the earth. Let them have dominion over it." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, the Bible says, created he him, male and female created he them. Now when we doubt the power and the wisdom of God to do anything, all we've got to do is go to the first chapter of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and read that first chapter and say with Jeremiah, "Lord God, is there anything too hard for thee?" Oh, great power, by the great, immeasurable, unaccountable immensity of the power of the arm of God is displayed in this first chapter of the book of Genesis. How anybody in their right mind and with any reasoning at all could come to the conclusion that this, that we, earth that we live on and the heavens that are our canopies, that it just came out of nowhere and there was no beginning to it, is beyond me. Nothing too hard for God. So there's nothing which the Lord did not make. Everything. And He made it without assistance. He did it Himself. Alone. Only with His wisdom and with His skill is there anything too hard for God. So, I say then, in light of what I've said, one of the hardest things that ever could be done was done by God when He created the work of creation. That's at least one of the hardest things that He ever did. You go far back into the history of the world and you notice, if you look, you don't have to look and search very hard either. Just read a little bit and you'll find out that this world that God made out of nothing, and the human race that He made out of nothing, starting with Adam, that the majority of all those that He made became corrupt and evil when they ought to have been holy unto God and separate from sinners. But they had mixed themselves together with the ungodly. And when God's patience had at last reached its limit, when He looked down from the heavens upon this earth and saw that there was not anything that He made pertaining to the human race, that there was not a single solitary one of them that was any account, that He could not find any good out of this mixed, ungodly, corrupt race of people that He. And God had reached the limit of His patience. And on a certain day, at a certain time, He shows how He can rid Himself of His enemies with a stroke. You remember how the Apostle Paul, when they was building a fire there, and a snake came out of the brush in the brambles and bit him on the hand. And Paul immediately shook his hand and the snake fell off into the fire. And just as quick, when God reaches the limit of His patience, He knows how to deliver His people from their adversaries. God knows how to do away with His enemies. So it's useless for man to war against God any fashion or any way. So, on a certain day, he decided to rid himself of his adversaries, his enemies. He spoke, and down come the rain. Never rained on the earth before. After he created the heavens and the earth, out of nothing, replenished it, grass and water, birds in the sky, painted the sun and all that business. Rains came down. God unlocked that reservoir of water up there, and it began to rain in sheets of rain, not just buckets full, but sheets of rain began to pour down upon the human race, humankind, and the water covered the whole earth. God had determined he would destroy all flesh. Destroy all flesh from the face of the earth. All flesh. And just save a few. God, in eternity, after he created all this out of nothing, by himself alone, made man in his own image. Called Adam a man, and a male, and a wife a female. And shortly after that, trouble started. And God looked down in due time, limit of his faith, see if there's any that doeth good, he said. And he said, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. God said, I'll wipe them all from the face of the earth. I'll drown them all. I'll save a few. That is, eight souls in the ark. I'll save Noah and his family. I'll put them in the ark, and the ark will bear them up from the wrath of the waters that come from them. I'll save a few. So, this morning here, let no one, not the least of us here, let no one ever imagine that any war can be successfully waged against him. Because when he bears his own for battle, he can create and he can destroy as easy as he. This whole world shake their fist at God and say, we will not have you to rebel or to rule over us. The ordinary man, woman, boy, or girl that's living here on the face of the earth right now, for the most part, the majority of them, shakes their fist at God and they say, we will not have you to rule over us. We'll be our own ruler, do what we want to, think what we want to, and act like we want to. We don't need to hear from you. Well, he who made everything out of nothing can easily resist the taunts and the threats of this corrupt human race. My soul, don't ever imagine that you can successfully wage rebellion against God and get by with it. You see, the penalty for your corruption, the penalty due you for your resistance and for your unbelief and for your sin. The penalty for that is to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. That is, He's going to send you to a place where God is not. And that'll be hell. Where there is no God is hell. There'll be no jubilant singing in that place, because they'll have no reason whatsoever to sing with joy, or have no reason to praise God, because it'll be a futile sound and a futile attempt to appease God, because it's too late. Sometime, someplace, you're going to run out your strength. You're going to fall off of your rope. It's going to be your end. Your 10, your 11, your 12, your 20, your 25, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, you're still going strong. But just remember, you cannot successfully wage rebellion against God, because there is nothing too hard for God. He can save you or He can damn you. That's His prerogative. What can you do? You cannot do it. You can cry out, but you won't. You bow your back in rebellion and you tell God, I will not. You remember there in the book of Exodus, where we've read several times that great and wonderful story of how the children of Israel started out with just a few, Joseph and his dad and his brothers, represented for the most part all of Israel. And they went down in Egypt. And they become, after so long a time, they multiplied. And Pharaoh tried to kill them off, multiplying too quickly, and he failed at that. And so the children of Israel began to cry out, and the Bible says that God remembered and heard their cry. And He raised up Aaron and Moses to be His messengers to Pharaoh to let My people go. You remember that story. Well, after Pharaoh had tried to crush them, do away with them, God remembered His people, and he determined then to bring them out of that land, to deliver them from the bondage of Pharaoh. And he told Moses and Aaron, he said, now, take Aaron with you. Moses said, I can't articulate anymore. I've been in the back of the desert so long. 400 years, whatever it was. Now I can't have conversation. Said, so I don't know how to act, go before Pharaoh and tell him this. He said, well, I'll send Aaron with you. And you tell that Pharaoh that I said, let My people go. And Moses said, well, who will I say sent me? And you tell Pharaoh, I am that I am hath sent you. And so Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh and made their case and said, God said, let My people go. And that proud rebel, Pharaoh, said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And there may be some of you here this morning that have listened to me. And you might say in your heart, well, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? The Lord says for you to repent and to believe the testimony of God concerning His Son. And you say, who is He that I should obey Him? Alright? He found out shortly who Jehovah God was. And you will too. And I will too. Shortly for me, and shortly for some of you, we're going to find out who Jehovah is. Who is this that sends Moses and Aaron down here and tells me I am the Pharaoh. I'm this monarch. When I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. When I say kill him, they kill him. Who is this that said, let my people? Shortly, he'll find out. Because God will drown him and all of his people in the Red Sea. And you'll never hear anymore about Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron and Moses' sister joined together and they sing a song of praise and thanksgiving that God hath delivered us from the hands of Pharaoh and drowned the thousands of the Egyptians in the midst of the Red Sea. Now, if God can do all that and has done all that, is there anything too hard for God? If I got any trouble that God cannot deliver me from, you got any problems that God cannot handle? I don't think so. I think He's more than enough. So after this mighty act of Jehovah God in regard to Pharaoh and those Egyptians, don't ever imagine that God can't deliver you from whatever situation you're in. He will deliver His people. If God shall but repeat His command, which says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Well then, if God makes that command, which He has, then you've got no trouble. It will be then a case with our enemies that God says, hands off. You cannot harm them. You can't touch them. You cannot touch the apple of my eye. And you can do my prophets. No harm. It's hands off. Can't do anything too hard for the Lord. Oh, nothing that I can think of. All these are great things that God hath done. Is God going to save His people? A people that God chose in Himself, in Christ before the world, is He going to save them? Going to save every one of them? Nothing too hard from God. He'll find them wherever they're at. If they're over there in the midst of the darkest spot in Africa, God will find them. If He has to raise up, raise up a preacher. Raise up a man, woman, boy, or girl with the message, let my people go. He'll find him and he's going to bring him home. Oh, not one for whom Christ died shall be lost. Is anything too hard for God? Nothing that I know of. Can't hide from God. He'll find you. He found Adam. Adam hid there in the garden and God found him. Oh, listen. He can find them in this world of pollution and corruption. He'll find them. He's going to bring them home. Easy for God to deliver us out of our troubles. Ain't no problem with that. God can do it. And I'll tell you, I've told you about some of the hard things that God did. But the hardest thing for God to do, the hardest thing that God has ever done is this. Well, it's not only the hardest thing, but it's the most wonderful thing that God has ever done. He brought about redemption for His people. That is, His Son, God's Son, His only Son. His name is Jesus. Man called Jesus. Eternal person of the Trinity. As much God as if He is never man, as much man as if He is never God. The Son of God. This is my beloved Son. God loved His Son. God so loved His Son. So loved us that He sent His only begotten Son. His Son came down to live among men. To live in this world. To become a man and live in this world. He took upon Himself human form. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He was sheltered in a stable. Miracle of miracles that God should take upon Himself human form, the nature of a man apart from sin, and take upon Himself the sin of His people that He chose and put in Christ before the world ever was. Bear the load of their transgression. Bear the guilt and shame of their sin. And the burden of their punishment. To drink the infinite cup of justice on their behalf. That to me is the greatest of the work of God. That He'd save a poor soul like me. He'll save His people from their sins. Who is His? All those, I don't care whether they're Baptists or Methodists or who they are, all those who know themselves to be helpless in themselves to save themselves will put their confidence and their trust in God's only Son. God's going to save His people. Who are His people? The people who believe on Him, who trust in Him. And the believing on Him is evidenced, has its effects in their lives. They begin to walk different, talk different. They join themselves to other holy people. And they desire, above everything else, to honor and glorify Him, to be obedient. Anything too hard for the Lord? Well, if I thought that there was anything too hard for God, I wouldn't pray for anybody. I wouldn't even pray for myself if I thought there was anything, any situation, any trial, any trouble, any difficulty, any obstacle that God could not overcome. I'd forget this praying business, wouldn't you? Pray without ceasing, you see. God's able.